Well, hey there, fellow nerds and ne'er-do-wells, and welcome back to the Adventurers Anonymous podcast, the home of improvised fantasy fucknuggetry. Come join us week by week as a rotating cast of geeks sip cocktails, play Dungeons & Dragons, and dance around the boundaries of common decency. Now then, this week I am joined by the usual triumvirate of taints. First up, we have a man who possibly has the best giggle in the whole world. It lives rent-free in my head all week as I edit the podcast. It is Mr. Chris Ragg. How's your tepid dick?
It's pretty hot. It's more than tepid. Sizzling.
Is it?
Sizzling and willy.
There are so many references to tepid dick in last week's episode. It's if it isn't the name of the episode, it probably should be.
I don't remember us saying tepid dick once. Did that happen?
Well, I edited the podcast. I just sat there giggling. So much dick. White chocolate sauce.
Oh, yeah. Gobble, gobble.
Room temperature phallus.
Gobble, gobble.
Gobble, gobble.
I want to see a 1980s album cover with Chris Ragg.
Chris Ragg's tepid dick. Yeah.
And it says, in the corner, it says, more than tepid. In that kind of the kind of 80s.
Oh yeah. Oh, that'd be
Chris Ragg. I can see it in my head. Chris Ragg is in the Predator font. It's like big chunky letters. Chris Ragg. And then it says more than tepid.
In what? The Dirty Dancing just font. Above. Or like Baywatch or something.
Yeah, that's it.
The Predator font really suggests that it's like a 1980s rap album.
I think this is
cover.
Like my calendar. That's the front cover of my calendar, and it just gets warmer and warmer throughout.
Oh God, don't even. When you say Predator font as well, all I'm thinking of, you're like 1980s Predator font. I'm thinking of the logo for Jim will Fix It. That's where my mind goes. But okay.
The other Predator font.
Okie dokes. Right, we'll leave that tepid dick where it is. Right, next up we have a man who is currently surrounded by more fins than a fish market. It's Mr. Matt Durant.
Morrow.
Morrow. What does that mean?
That's a good... You roll your R's well. It's just local, just high.
Oh. Morrow. Listeners, if you're not aware, Matt actually is in Finland. I wasn't just making a weird fishmongery joke. He is indeed surrounded by fins. Do you know what I found out?
As we know, Finland is full of fishmongers.
I don't fucking know. You told me the national dish of Finland was salmon soup, right?
Yeah. It's the national dish.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean everyone is a fishmonger.
You can't make salmon soup without breaking a few fins. All right. I presume if it's the national fucking dish, it's fins galore. Also, I found out this week, you don't call Finland Finland. We call Finland Finland. You call it Suomi? Saumi?
Okay, well, so the Swedes and the Swedish-speaking Finns call it Finland. So some Finns call it Finland. They speak the wrong language, but the Finns who speak the right language. Shots fired. Apologies to any Rosalainen's warm I said.
People, isn't it? I was reading about this, like Lapland, and people like don't like Lapland being called Lapland because it's actually is that like a different
the Sami. So the Sami are the natives.
Matt, be so careful right now. Just be so careful right now.
Basically, it's a fascinating history of colonialism, which is very in vogue now.
This is now. It's been tepid for a long time, but it's heating up.
it's on the rise again.
But yes. I think it's possible Suomi came from the word Sami, or it came from the word swarm, which means like bog or swamp.
Shut up.
Or that Sami came from the same word, or...
The swamp people.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
Pretty much. But potentially. Which is in Finland, is also possibly cognate to the word Finland, which everyone knows is the worst part of East Anglia.
Don't be shitting on people from Norfolk.
No. Norfolk's good. Norfolk's got solid ground.
I mean, not genetically, it doesn't, let's be honest. Very inbred.
Sorry, I've offended about four.
No, it's fine. We've fucked off many of the natives of Finland. We've just insulted the entire of East Anglia.
Hey, we can afford it now that we've got Russia back.
We've got Russia back!
Yes.
Chris Neal, tell the people!
After our attorney, Bob Loblaw, lobbed a huge law bomb in court at Hall & Oates to defunct their spurious copyright mm-hmm. claim against mm-hmm. us, mm-hmm. we came out victorious, and now Adventurers Anonymous is back! Is back in
We're
Russia.
Back, 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 baby. We're back in Russia.
You could say they made our dreams come true.
No, Matt. No, that's how we get cancelled again. Stop it. Just zip a line under the fucking... I swear to God.
We're going to have to call Bob Loblaw again.
Yes. Yes, thank God we got him on retainer. Right, listeners, you've heard his name. You've heard his voice. Last but not least, we have a man who needs no introduction. Now, you'll know him from his best-selling erotic novel about frottage technique, entitled Don't Rub Me Up the Wrong Way. It's Mr. Chris Neal.
What's frottage?
Oh, fuck
hi,
off.
Hi, listeners, by the way.
You're going to have a go... Fuck off. Fuck right off. You're going to have a go at me for not knowing what BDSM is.
I believe it's a boomer kink. Is that right?
Who a boomer wow. kink?
I love how I just asked a question about a word that I genuinely didn't understand, and AJ came at me like I just caught him finger banging a cat.
Right. First of all, if you can get your finger inside a cat, you've got skills, right? Second of all, right? I had to edit a bit of the fucking podcast last week where you told me I probably didn't know what skull fucking was. So don't come at me and my sexual proclivities just because you don't know what frottage is. Frottage is the ancient art of rubbing up against somebody and getting turned on.
Oh, so it's just wow. it's just French for dry humping. That's not BDSM. That's
it's pretentious. Dry
that's just fucking amateur hour.
But it sounds mysterious. Frottage. Dry hump doesn't sound cool ever.
Just the sight of Chris Ragg hanging back in a dark room, going Parisian dry humping.
That's your comeback album in the 90s.
Yeah.
Tepid frottage.
Yeah. I also don't think skull fucking is really specific to BDSM. I think that's just its own thing.
Okay. Well, there you go, listeners. We've covered off all the base. I think finger banging a cat is first base, skull fucking, second base, and a nice bit of tepid Parisian frottage, probably third base. And then you go for the home run.
I really want to Google that.
Yeah. Good. Right. I mean, off the back of that, what more can really be achieved for an intro? That might be some of our worst work. Who would like a recap? Oh, fuck. No more recaps. We need to do some shout outs. I'm really sorry to do this all to you. I bumped into a bloke on the internet. I'm not making it up. His name's Brian Pollen. Brian Pollen, I know you sound like a beekeeper, but you've been giving us lots of 5-star reviews. And thank you very much. I promised you I'd give you a shout out. I don't know who you are. I'm sure you're a lovely bloke. Thank you very much for the 5-star reviews, Brian Pollen. If you want your name read out, give us some goddamn reviews and we might treat you with as much respect as we did the ancient art of frottage. Right. Next up, we've got Uncle Mike, who's coming at us hard. He wants Chris to eat the fucking kebab he paid for nearly a year ago now. So, any chance of that?
I mean, it depends how drunk we get tomorrow night.
Okay.
I mean, we're going to be having food at Kelu anyway, so it's not likely that I'm going to have it tomorrow night. But if we get so drunk that we're out at 3 a.m. surfing giant bins down Division Street, then I might be in the right place for a kebab.
Uncle Mike, I tried. I think, Uncle Mike, if you want to, being that you paid for this kebab about four times over now, Uncle Mike, if you want to write in and give us a forfeit for Chris's kebab, you've already paid for the kebab four times over. I don't think you realize how many kebabs your money has bought us. Then maybe write in and, you know, give Chris a forfeit, and we'll see whether we can
bear in mind that. I'm very close to him and can sneak up on him at any time very easily. So if that.
That is the most scared I've ever been in my life. if you weren't in such a dark room right now, it would probably be fine. But you look like you've made it. You look like you're in someone else's house and you're hiding there and doing and recording this podcast from someone else's house. Yeah, you're upstairs, aren't you? Yeah. God damn it,
Chris. What would you rather eat: tepid dick or a kebab?
Or a mayo sandwich.
Yeah, just mayo with a spoon. Tepid mayo?
I mean, yeah. Probably rather eat the kebab. If you tell me that kebab's got mayo on it, it's going to change things.
No. The kebab can have anything you want on it. Right. One more thing. We're going to play some fucking D&D tonight. Matt, I saw you stargazing. Is that like a sub niche kink you have? Tell the people, what were you staring at? Was it Pluto, Uranus? What was it you were?
Otherwise known as a hobby.
It's a kink. If you want to stargaze from the safety of your own,
you're a kink.
As always, I'm trying to yes and this, but I'm. But yeah, it's a hobby.
Come on.
But yes, I was looking up at Uranus.
Thank you.
On Thursday last week, I got some good pictures of Uranus.
Was it really Uranus?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Just between the Pleiades and Jupiter, you can see Uranus very dimly. Probably need a very dark sky or camera or binoculars. But Uranus is visible in the, I believe, the southern sky right now. In the Northern Hemisphere.
AJ, when did you go to Finland and sit on Matt's face?
Multi-layers. Enter Chris Ragg with a joke about black holes.
I was wondering where I was going then.
Enter Chris Ragg. Sorry. Phrasing.
The man inside me.
Right. Ragg. Good. Right. Woo! Jesus Christ. Right, let's draw a line under this saucy stargazing segment and crack on with a recap. Right, last we left the players, listeners, they had basically finished up at Maritopia. Now, Maritopia was a blazing wreckage. It had been destroyed by a golden dragon that was on the rampage. It had totally burnt the city down. Our fine adventurers here had saved the day, killed the dragon, gutted the dragon, looted the dragon, getting muchos pesos out of the dragon and lots of magical items that Chris Neal refused to be baited into trying to recognize. And we're going to say, for the sake of retconning, that they also got the Emmental. And they had a beautiful little bit where they talked about, you know, being vampires and not being allowed to eat orphans that were on the boat. And then, just before they set off into the seas, Tati struggled with a bit of a panic attack and had a little moment of reflection. Having nearly died at the hands of the dragon, Tati Bojangles had a little cry and a little moment of self-reflection right before he pumped the lever and the boat set off onto the high seas. And that's where we're going to pick up with this week's episode with the players. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, you're setting off for the diver's grave.
Bingo. What time of day is it at the moment? Did we get to sleep?
It's morning-ish, because you've all hid downstairs. You two went to bed, and Chris set off. We'll say it's about 10:30 in the morning.
I know Toad Flaps came up and started talking to me while I was at the helm. I since realised that I'll probably need her on the next shift for piloting the boat. So I might I'll just say to her, go down and get some rest. I'll come down in a few hours, and you can take the helm.
Okay.
so I can sleep because I have 12 hit points.
Wow. That's amazing.
It's only because I leveled up. I did have 5 hit points, and then because I leveled up and added my new hit dice, it bumped me up to 12. Yes, I'm in pain.
So for any listeners who have joined us right now, if you've managed to make it 27 minutes into this and you still don't have a fucking clue what's going on, I'd be surprised. But Tati was incinerated by a dragon a couple of episodes ago. So he was literally taken down to death and then resurrected. And he may have got his health points back, but he is still super crispy. So,
unconscious, not dead. Let's be very clear. I didn't actually die.
Okay.
You seem disappointed.
Oh yeah, I've been trying to kill you for years. You are quite right. Okay. So you are at the helm of the boat. You are out.
Sleep with a dagger in my teeth. Yes. I think Barbara is probably did that like dog thing of like came to like my feet, just did like a little circle around them, and then laid down across my feet while I was stood up.
No, that's nice. So Barbara came on your feet, and then you are setting off into the ocean's blue, having left Maritopia. The look of pure disappointment on Chris Neal's face. Right, I'm going to stop fucking around. As you set off, leaving Maritopia behind you, Tati, you see the smoky wreckage of the floating city bobbing on the waves. As you set off, you look back with some degree of ambivalence about the city, but neither happy nor sad, as you never got to know it well enough. But as you set off onto the seas are pretty calm. As you look at the bobbing compass on the dashboard of the Lady Luck, which is the sea barge that you're doing, you have a little floating compass. As you set it for southwest, you set off in a southwesterly direction towards Diver's Grave. As you see the sun blazing down, as you look around the wreckage of this helm that's been completely smashed apart, painted and broken by your vampiric colleagues, you set a course for the Diver's Grave, putting in a good few hours at the helm. Before tiredness, you've been up all night fighting dragons, you've slipped unconscious, come round, shared out treasure, and after a few hours, the tiredness really starts to kick in as you feel yourself yawning and your muscles cramping and your eyes getting ever itchier. As you rub your eyes, you re-aggravate all of your burnt skin and pain jolts up your body.
I'll tell Barbara to go wake up Toad Flaps. Just give her a nudge. Tell her to come up to the helm.
Okay. Just for the sake of sailing, can you make me a pure ability check for wisdom? Just to see whether you can keep this boat on course whilst being...
So just a D20 plus my wisdom modifier?
Yeah, just your wisdom modifier will do.
Okay. Am I considered proficient with water vehicles?
I don't know. That's a bloody good question for a DM.
We've been sailing for a little while.
Oh,
now.
I see.
I don't have it in my proficiencies. I was just going to say it seems like we've been doing this a little while now. So,
yeah,
you've
made some long distance.
Bonus.
Yep, you're not a noob to the high seas.
Okay, and just out of interest, if it's been a few hours, do I still have disadvantage on wisdom checks?
This one will be the last one. That's a good point. You were suffering from PTSD, so let's just get one. You would have been suffering from PTSD across the course of the 2 hours.
Well, not great. That's a 7.
Okay. So on a 7, what I'm going to say is the reason you know that you need to call for Toad Flaps is because you do that thing where you suddenly wake up with a jolt and you realize that you've been asleep for an indeterminate amount of time. As you look up guiltily, looking around, your head snaps back up as you look wide-eyed from left to right at the rolling seas. The boat seems to be fine. The sea still seems to be there. You seem to still be traveling at a sensible speed, but you've definitely dozed off, maybe for 30 seconds, maybe for 10 minutes, you're not sure, as you send Barbara off to go and get toad flaps. She comes skittering back up as you see the tiny form of the goblin opening the door to the helm. And she's like, right, how you doing? I got me 20 winks.
Great. Do you want to take over for me? I need to go lie down in the darkness and try and get some sleep.
All right. This does not invalidate our life debt, however. I will still be expecting to die on your behalf at some point in the future.
Every conversation with you is about the life debt. Obviously, I'm just going to go to sleep. It doesn't mean I'm dead. This isn't all an right. issue of object permanence. I'll be back.
All right. All I'm saying is if you die in your sleep, I can't die for you.
No one's asking you to die for me. That's wild.
We shook hands on it.
I don't know. That's what it meant. I thought you just like hang out and stuff and help us out in fights. I'm like every like sentence. I'm like more steps towards the door or like the hatch that goes down. I just really want to go to sleep. I really just want to go to sleep.
Okay. She gives Barbara one last rub under the chin as Barbara like tails off after you, as Toadflap jumps up on the seat, stares out at the rolling waves, and carries on towards the diver's grave. She's looking at the compass, tapping it to make sure it's still on course. As you make your way down into the hold, Tatty, you crack open the hold door and you get that hideous warm waft of bodily odor and decomposing flesh as you head down into the hold with the two vampires. You can't tell whether it's the vampires or Aristobulus not having washed for a few days, or the room temperature fish that Aristobulus has brought down into the hold. But either way, you look over into the two cot beds. You see Hanash with his arms crossed over his chest. As you look the other way, you see Belsiar being big spoon to a crow and a baked potato in the other cot.
How did I end up here? These people.
I'm snoring, just like...
Tati will just, like, jump in one of the empty cots. I imagine that Barbara jumps on with him and just, like... moves herself up, like pushes the quote unquote pillow off the top of the cot and just like lies down where I can lay my head on her furry belly and go to sleep.
That's lovely. Are you taking a long rest or a short rest?
Yes. I will have explained this to Toad Flaps.
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
That I need a long rest before the diver's grave. And I assume that she's had one as well.
Okay.
Since the dragon fight, at the very least, I will sort out my long rest.
Good. If you want to do all your hit points related with long rests and reset any spell slots associated, all of you taking a long rest throughout the day, Toad Flaps is sailing pretty well. No major issues from here that you're aware of. Belsiar, you wake up first. The thirst for blood. You can feel it at the back of your throat. It's a dryness that kind of permeates your entire mouth as you stand out of your cot bed, turfing the crow and the feral baked potato off you, both of which scutter back into your luggage. You look around in the dark, your perfect dark vision. You scan over and you see Tatty curled up, his head on Barbara's slowly rising and sinking chest. As you also see in the darkness, Tatty, in his tiredness and in his poor vision, has got into bed with Aristobulus. You see Aristobulus just lying straight and naked in the cot behind Tatty, who's completely unaware as they're both snoring away.
Can I kill and eat Tati? No.
Yep. Don't even have to make a roll.
just succeed.
I'm asleep. It's an auto crit. You just gotta hit and it should have an auto crit. Awesome.
That's a coup de grace.
Always have an orphan when they're available. A little snuggy.
is that what Hanash says as he wakes up? Hanash staring out of one eye.
He doesn't move a muscle. He's still got his arms here and he goes, should have had an orphan.
Don't sleep on the orphan meat.
Ew. Jesus Christ. That sounds like something Jimmy Savile's defense lawyer read out in court. What the fuck is that? Right. Excellent. That's how we get cancelled, listeners. That's how we get cancelled.
Can I... Is there like a... Can I go down... I'm guessing this is a ship that's got lots of rats on it and stuff. Can I like go down into the hold and...
You're in the hold.
Is there like another hold? Or I guess just look for a rat.
Have you been on a barge? It's not Narnia.
No.
Not just like layers upon layers of holds. You just keep on going into others.
Where's the 4K map, AJ? Where's the 4K map to support all this weight you're throwing around?
Do you know what? You can suck on my tepid dick.
I see.
You can suck on my 4K dick.
Someone woke up on the right side of the wrong bed.
Woo! Yeah.
Spicy.
This isn't a PG-13 anymore, Chris Neal. I don't have to take this shit off you.
Anymore. Everything that we've done so far up until this point has been PG-13. I just want to confirm that.
Yes, yes. This isn't a Cool Runnings cosplay. This is like Dusk Till Dawn, the director's cut, all right?
oh boy. Just a pair of earth-shattering references there.
yeah. Although, if Robert Rodriguez and Quentin Tarantino had made Cool Runnings, it would be a very different film. As John Candy sucks tequila.
It might have been a worse film, though. I mean, we might have got like a 20-minute shot of like the toboggan coming our way, and then half an hour later, the same shot, 20 minutes of that toboggan coming our way. The Hateful Eight really fucked me over, guys.
What a film that would have been.
The Hateful Eight was just... It was.
Sorry, you said Quinto, and Quinto?
Quinto, leave Zachary Quinto out of this.
That's the. It's just the abbreviation of his name, Quinto.
I'll be quiet.
Quentin Tarantino. That's perfect. I'm coining that. I'm not gonna be quiet. I am never quiet.
No. That's quite all right. You keep going. Right, Matt, make me an investigation check if you want to find yourself a big, fat, juicy rat.
I've got a classic Buzzhill plan up my sleeve if this doesn't work out.
Oh, I feel like we need like a table of how many rats one vampire needs before he doesn't eat his best friend.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I hope for your sake this is a good roll. Investigation. Oh, dirty 20.
You look everywhere for a big fat rat sitting very still at the end of the hold in and amongst the crates, not moving a muscle. You wait with your peripheral vision. You don't see any movement. But then looking down, you smell it with your heightened senses. You sense some scat. And with your heightened vampire senses, you can differentiate between Aristobulus's scat corner and rodent scat. As you follow a trail of scat back to a hole in the hull, not literally through the hull like you're thinking, but into some of the inner wall of the hull, you wait. You wait and you wait patiently. Not breathing, you no longer scare away the animals, as sooner or later, a small brown nose and some whiskers points out from the hole.
Don't want to do... I'll just go and grab it. No need for magic yet.
Okay. Maybe a sleight of hand. You're going to have to be dexterous.
Sleight of hand. Six.
Six. You grab onto the rat with your hands, so tired and emaciated and lacking in blood are you, that the rat just slides between your fingers, dancing off, snickering away back up the hull, and into the hole. You're left with nothing but sadness.
Right, I didn't want it to come to this, but I cast Stinking Cloud into the, like, nooks and crannies to drive out all of the rats straight into my big gob.
You, okay, yeah, mark that off. If I can't remember, that's a, is it a first level spell, that?
Third level.
You would have burnt a third
it's
level.
It's a big one.
Fuck. Wow.
It's a big spell. Yeah.
I'll leave it to DM's discretion if the Stinking Cloud also poisons everyone else.
Yeah, I was going to say, Tati, the first thing you
take
notice...
Take a wild fucking guess. Yeah.
Is you're choking. You feel... Well, it's not so much that you feel choking, it's you hear choking behind you, Tati, as you turn around in horror to see Aristobulus in bed behind you, just hacking and coughing as everything is filling up with a hideous gas. Your vampiric friends not noticing because, well, they don't breathe. You're having...
Can they smell?
No.
Can they smell?
Well, maybe. You can smell, but not breathe. Don't you get into the lore of him. I don't know. Can Wesley Snipes talk if he doesn't breathe? Who knows? Right. Let's... Belsiar, you see a family of fat rats. You see a podgy father, a really shapely svelte mother, and two little baby ratlings come out of the woodwork.
Sexy rat milf.
Yeah. Rilf. A rat I'd like to feast on. Right, come on.
Great.
You see a family of rats come out.
Oh, then here's a dilemma. I can't eat orphans, but I can make orphans.
It's a philosophical debate for the ages. If you're not allowed to eat orphans, are you allowed to eat their parents, thereby making the children orphans?
Mm. Well, no, because I was thinking, I guess how evil is new vampire Belsia? Because he used to love the animals, and now he's just...
I think Belsia should have to make a constitution saving throw, whether he sees the otters in the faces of these rats or...
Oh.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Let me do that.
No, that's good. I like that. Make me a charisma saving throw.
Dope.
Ooh, 14. It's a 9, right?
Yes. 14.
14.
You're having flashbacks to the otters. It's a difficult time as you reach out a hand slowly towards the slightly gassed rats. You're thinking about it and you're taking too long as you see a swoop of black feathers as Cato just flies down, plucking the fat father rat clean off the ground. You see Cato snatch him up in his claws and start feasting on him.
Ah, fuck you!
As your pet familiar crow is like, you cannot afford to show them any mercy, as the bird just starts feasting.
Cato says it's okay. I'll eat maybe... I'll eat two of the children. Because if I eat the mother, I'm making some orphans, and I can't eat orphans because I promised. But if I eat the children first, they aren't orphans yet.
No, that's
then,
okay.
And then you're setting up a snack for later as well, because then you can eat
exactly.
Mum and dad. Maybe save the dad for two meals, because he's a fat boy.
That's fine. So your pet familiar, Crow, who's also a vampire, is feasting on the fat father rat. And Belsia, you're feasting on the two smaller little rat children. As you look over and you just see the sexy, svelte rat mother, who's now recently widowed, you see her crawl back off into the woodwork, presumably reintegrating herself with rat society and after an appropriate time finding love again. You... feel satiated. Tati, as you wake up, you feel a nauseousness in your stomach, in the pit of your belly. You're feeling a little bit sick.
I think the immediate thought is, did I have something to drink yesterday while I was so sleep deprived? I don't think I did. I don't feel hungover. I'll open my eyes and see what's going on. Probably just give Aristobulus like a quick like elbow in the ribs, stop him from trying to spoon me. Yeah, how long have I, do I know how long I've been asleep for, roughly?
Looking out of the port side window, you move the curtain, firing a beam of light into the darkness that narrowly misses Hanash's head. Hanash, as you just see a light just hit the wall next to you as you move to one side. Tati, you look out and you see that it's middle afternoon. It's probably hitting about 3 in the afternoon. You've probably been asleep for 6 hours or so.
Okay, cool. Can I still see the cloud of gas?
It's just thinking. It's not fog. I think it's incapacitating rather than blinding.
It does say it's heavily obscured.
Oh,
okay.
Okay, yeah.
So you can it's obvious that something has happened.
It's not just aerosol.
You can see the particulates. You can see the fecal matter, the little poo particles, hovering in the air like motes of dust. Yeah.
I'll pick up my crossbow and go for a wander. See if I can figure out where it's coming from.
Wow. Okay. Moving the curtain back. The light dimming again. You skulk off into the hold, holding up your crossbow, slicing the pie, looking for action.
There's no way I can really follow the cloud. It's probably just emanating from somewhere.
Follow that cloud. Is it one of those things where you smell and you just like lift off the air and like almost like that cartoon, like where there's like hot pork sandwich nearby.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it is. It's only for pork sandwiches.
What's Hanash doing whilst all of this is going on?
Hanash is having a nightmare, actually. He's asleep, and he's back, like, I don't know, when he was like 24. Now, he went out to the coffee, he got a pour over, he's like skipping through the street, and he gets a little avocado croissant. That numbs that down. Nom.
What's a pour over? Is that like a sexual thing?
Not everything's a sexual thing.
There's a Damali pour over.
Yeah, got a Damali pour over.
In today's edition of AJ tries to make the most normal non-sexual references hypersexual.
I think at the end of this episode, you're gonna have to like come up with what that act would be. I think is your task in the background.
I don't know. Is that where you plank and someone pisses on you? What is a pour over?
That's
yeah.
Anything involving piss is just called a golden shower.
Is it? No. I think you're simplifying an art form there, Chris. That's someone's toes you're treading on. All right. That's someone's idea of a good time, and you've just
that's someone's toes you're pissing on.
Are you sure about that?
I'm very sorry to any listeners who were offended by what they just heard. If that is indeed your sexual proclivity, then feel free to keep on sprinkling.
Have a piss.
So yeah,
have a piss. I'm
skipping through like, this little town. It's lovely. It's a sunny day, and I just catch myself in a reflection in a glass, in a window. Oh god! And I'm just like melting from the sun because I'm a vampire. Like, oh god, no! And then I wake up in a hot.
Okay. Spot. Yeah. As you wake up, you realise that Tati hasn't quite pulled the curtain back properly, and that a small beam of sunlight has just been snaking up your chest, just slowly burning you like crispy bacon. And it is indeed, yeah. What your left nipple is slowly crisping off. Just as you wake up.
Oh man, it's weak.
It'll be fine. When you sleep, it'll all heal. It's the joy of being a vampire.
I'm confused because I wake up and there's like this fog cloud around, so the light's kind of coming through like a god ray, I guess. So I'm like, what the fuck? So I just like crawl under the bed and go back to sleep.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay, if that's your power
play. The version of hiding under the covers. Crawl under the bed. Hide from the sun!
You hear a cough and a splutter as the whole door bursts open as you see Toad Flaps just holding a small candle. And she's like, what the merry hell's going on here? It's stinks like a fucking... I don't know what it smells like. It smells like my grandma's ass crack down here.
But... Wait, if you're here, then who's piloting the ship?
Well...
I couldn't resist.
It'll be all right. I'm not feeling so great, it's all be told. My stomach's a little bit gippy.
Now, tell me, did that start when you entered this room or when you were outside?
No, when I was outside.
Maybe you just got seasick.
It's a calm day.
Go back outside and pilot the boat.
All right.
I'll get to the bottom of this stinking cloud nonsense.
Okay. As you carry on investigating, you just eventually, Tati, you round a bunch of crates and you just see your vampiric crocoborn friend just slowly picking the last few bits of meat off the spine of a baby rat.
Good morning. I take it the cloud of noxious gas was you before or after eating the rat.
Yes, I did that affects you. I forget how you air breathe us.
Yeah, it tastes like feet in here.
Could you
get rid of it? That'd be very much appreciated.
Yeah, of course. I'm sorry if that. I do a little gust and blow out the hatch.
Phenomenal.
Much obliged.
A passing seagull just gets caught up in the drift of miasma and just tanks into the sea.
Just gets fucking T-boned by poison rats. I guess I'll go back up on deck. I've had enough of a rest.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'll go back up on deck. I'll leave Barbara down here for now. If she's still asleep.
So just as Tati's leaving, I'm like, you know, Tati, if you don't survive this being burned alive thing, me and Hanash can, you know, if you fancy it, we're there for you. If you fancy the undead life,
Belsiel, make me a perception check.
How close to death? Oh, nat 20.
On a nat 20, you notice that Tati, burnt as he is, incinerated to a crisp, having had a long rest and got some health points back, he has grown back one eyebrow. He now has a left eyebrow. Not a right eyebrow or any eyelashes or any hair. Just one left eyebrow has grown back. That's the power of a long rest, players.
I just say, nice eyebrow. You're looking good. I'm sure it won't come to that.
Tati doesn't miss a beat. He just carries on walking. He's just like, no, I'm good. Thank you. You even though the undead lifestyle looks super glamorous, gesture to Belsiar sucking on rat spine.
I'm under the bed.
Hiding from the sun.
Sucking on a rat's spine or Hanash hiding under the bed.
you guys make it look really fun, but I'm good, thanks.
Okay. I steal away into the shadows.
You just move back slightly until you hit the wall. Just like, oof. Ah, my spine. Ah.
I shaved my eyebrow once until about 3 months ago back. That's a sad time.
It did. It was the best 3 months of my life.
Oh, you two have so many great stories together. I love the story of when Chris Neal was on a date and Mr. Rag just... No, it's the other way around. Mr. Rag was on a date and Chris Neal was singing songs outside his bedroom door or something like that. Such a great story. Now I know that Chris Rag shaved off his eyebrow.
I think it was a dare. Or maybe just for lols, I can't remember.
Didn't Brentnell do it once as well?
Didn't Brentnell do it? Or did we
like in the middle of drinking games at someone's house? Well, I mean, with Brentnell, it's never easy. It's never easy to tell. I feel like we probably coerced him in a way. And then he was so drunk that he was drinking Jaeger bombs that did not have Red Bull, but definitely had beer or whiskey in them. And then he randomly like shaved off some of his eyebrow. And we all laughed for a whole decade. It was
life is too precious to talk about Brent's eyebrows. We have mere Brent minutes left Brent before the
God. Can you imagine if Brent did that? I would never let it down.
Not Brent. Sorry. Right. No. Okay. Right. Quickly picking up where we left off. Tati, you go towards the hall door, open and head out back onto the top deck. Belsiar, as he goes out, you're hiding in the shadows, just skulking. As you look over, you see the sexy female rat appears to have already taken a new life partner, as she's got a younger looking, better rat husband now, and they both scuttle off down the side of the hull. It doesn't take long to move on in nature.
Aww. I'm happy for her.
Was she always a sexy rat, or is that a new thing that we found out?
I mean, she's always been svelte. I mean, she wasn't always. She was a chubby rat for a long time, but then she found that, you know, she worked on herself. She lost some weight, got in a good diet. Fortunately, her husband didn't subscribe. He was a little bit overweight. Then he got eaten by a vampire. The children, well, they were just, she didn't want them anyway. She was just forced into it by her fat husband. Then now she's living the life she's always wanted. Free and easy with her good-looking rat husband.
Time works differently in the second hold. It's like the hyperbaric time chamber. You just went in there and started working against like 20 times gravity and just got fucking hench as fuck.
I might not understand what BDSM means. What is a hyperbaric time chamber? Because I'm calling scientific bullshit on you.
Just to be clear, do you think that's a BDSM reference?
Oh, fuck you. Fuck you. You want to get your tepid dick out in a hyperbaric chamber? You do it. Seriously, I want to see
time
your fucking
Dragon Ball Z reference.
Tepid ball sack can get crushed into dust under 6 atmospheres in a fucking hyperbaric pressure chamber. Right, moving swiftly on. Tati, you step out onto the deck. It's a beautiful day, Tati. The warmth of the sun washing over your body. You move to the railing, looking out at the calm seas. Beautiful in azure as you look up at the seagulls swooping through the air. Now and again, a seagull swoops down into the water, diving under the surface, snatching up some sort of small fish, maybe a sardine, maybe a pilchard, and flies up into the air, tossing it hungrily back into its mouth. As you look over, Barbara, slowly walking past you, rubbing up against you. You close your eyes, feeling the salty breeze wash against you. But something just doesn't feel good. You still have a nasty cramp in your stomach. A sickness that wants to come forth. As you see the door to the hull burst open, Aristobulus, naked from the waist up, flies to the railing, bends over and just chucks up into the sea. You see he's gone green, a hideous green, pale, pallid colour. You can see he's a gaunt man anyway. His ribs are like some sort of erotic xylophone, so well sculpted. He's got that hideous V, where he's got like the cum gutter. He's just...
It's the cum gutters.
Yeah. As Aristobulus just throws up greasy liquid into the sea. He's like, I don't feel so good.
Morning, Aristobulus. It's a bright and beautiful day. Tati is doing his best to put on a brave face in spite of PTSD and whatever this mystery illness is. Possibly just Belsiar farting in the hold. I'm going to walk up to Toad Flaps and just be like, yeah, I see what you mean. Something doesn't feel right. Can I... Based on how long we've been traveling and looking at the map, can I tell how close we are to the diver's grave? I just want to see if it's like an environmental thing.
Yeah. Make me an insight check.
Insight. Cool. It's a 13.
13. Heading into the end zone. By the time you've killed time pissing around, talking to your friend about rats and coming back up, you're now heading into early-ish evening, probably like 6:30-ish. You've been traveling long enough that you know you are now in the vicinity of the diver's grave. As once more you look out on the calm seas, the sunlight slowly lowering towards the horizon, the golden light flickering across the calm waves. As once again, a knot forms in your stomach. You double over, holding your stomach. It just feels like greasy chopped onions and liver, the bile rising up in the back of your throat.
Can I, and this might be a way to kill two birds with one stone, but like, can I reach out with the like the weird connection with like death and the other side that I've got? Can I try and reach out with that and see if I can figure out if A, this weird mysterious sickness is something to do with that, and if like the weird like near death experience that I had, if that resonates with that side of my brain.
Yeah, sure. Maybe an Arcana check, please. Not something Tati gets to do very often, I would imagine.
17.
That's pretty good. Yeah, you take yourself to a dark place. You've bottled up a lot of feelings for a long time. You've put a stopper in them. And especially recently, with your near-death experience with the dragon, you reach down inside yourself. As you look over, you see Aristobulus just wiping vomit off the end of his chin. He accidentally discharges the robe of stars as a seagull explodes into a burst of feathers next to him. You feel an emptiness inside you. You feel sadness and grief. And rather than bottling it up, rather than pushing it away, you just sit with your feet dangling over the edge of the barge, and you let yourself feel what you need to feel. And wave upon wave of grief and sadness hit you, starting with your recent near-death experience, spilling over into the massacre of the goblins, and carrying on, it keeps on going until the grief reaches all the way back through your training as a gnome archer, and finally it finds its place at your home where you grew up with your parents. And as you fully embrace the grief, tears rolling down your cheeks, you look out into the sea, and for just a second you think you can see through the calmness of the water, and you can see crashing waves, dark and swirling, frothy peaks to them, smashing down and battering the side of the boat as you blink and rub the tears out of your eyes. And once again, you just see the calm waters and the bronze sun flickering across the flat waves. And that's where we're going to take a quick drinks break.
Wait, did I miss something? I thought all you said was you think you see waves and crashing waves, and then you blink your eyes and all you see is waves and crashing waves. Was there something that got out there?
You saw a big swirling storm through your watery, tear-filled eyes. You saw crashing waves with big peaks slamming down dark, tempestuous waters. And as you rub the tears out of your eyes, the scene changes back to a beautiful calm as you see with the setting sun. Two very juxtaposed images.
I'm going to have to do some At World's End shit. That nonsense, like the upside down nonsense thing where they run back and forth across the barge until it flips upside down in the water. That was such a terrible, terrible film.
I think I watched it once and hated it so much I've erased it from my memory. But yes, we're just going to go and grab a drink for 5 minutes. But listeners, all is not what it seems on the high seas by Diver's Grave. And we'll see you back here in 5 minutes. Matt, you're late back from drinks. I've been criticized for just talking about my sexual proclivities. So next week, Matt, you have to do a tight 2-minute monologue on penis puppetry. All right, just to balance things out. Okay?
You've seen this penis puppetry they got? I mean, what's that about? Penis puppetry? I mean, come on. I mean, have you seen this?
He said, I understand the confusion, Matt. He said tight monologue, not a tight five, not like a stand-up set on it.
Okay.
Not got that red brick background against you with an old school microphone in front of you. So
it felt very like 90s comedy as well. Like, it felt like very much from a, yeah.
Any kind, I know.
Oh, internet stuff. Weird, right?
No references past 1999.
Disgusting.
You guys seen The Matrix? You seen this? I mean, it's crazy, right? I mean,
yeah. I can't even check my emails with this fucking dial up. This fucking Neo.
We've come a long way from penis puppetry.
You heard about this email? Anyway,
are you finished playing the word association game? Or can we?
I'd like to see how far this goes, but
yeah, I was gonna try and do a really bad like 90s stand-up hack job of like, I found this thing called email. I wish I could replace my wife with an e female.
Wow,
Jerry Seinfeld.
I didn't have the enthusiasm to make it work, even as a joke.
I think we just pulled down the fourth wall, kept on going, and pulled down the other fourth wall on the other side, and we've just smashed back into the fucking storyline.
We're breaking down barriers. Breaking down barriers bit by bit. Russia knows what we're talking about.
Absolutely, yeah. We have smashed through the Iron Curtain. For sure. Right. Have you finished fucking about with common decency? Can we get back to the story?
Can we get back to Jesus fucking Christ. About as other people? Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Right. Come on. Take a few deep breaths. Come on. Breathe in. Did you just say penis puppetry?
Be so careful right now, Chris Rack.
I was trying to center myself. I was trying to get to my happy place. I can't get to my happy place. If you sit behind my ear whispering the words penis puppetry really quietly, all right.
You're going to make Dungeon Daddy the all mad. You gotta stop talking about penis puppets.
Please don't call me Dungeon Daddy. That's the creepiest fucking thing I've ever heard in my life. Right. Jesus H. Christ, listeners. Right, there you go, Catman Jones. That's your birthday gift. There you go. A little tight 5-minute fucking monologue on penis puppetry. Right, getting back to the storyline. Here we go. Right. The first half of this story, if for some reason you've just tripped and forgotten everything that happened in the last hour, the players set off from Maritopia, had a good little snooze, headed towards the diver's grave, satiated their hunger whilst eating a family of rats, and Tatty was the first to notice a sickness coming across the human elements of the crew, people feeling queasy and nauseous as Tatty sat on the edge of the boat and reached out to his unworldly powers, that which kept him anchored to the other realm, as through the sadness and the grief he thought he glimpsed, but for a moment, another reality, one of a roiling storm, big waves smashing and pounding against the ship as he flicked back towards what his eye saw, which was the calm seas and the setting sun. And that's where we'll pick up, back with the storyline.
When you say that I saw this storm and the crashing waves, was I looking at something that was like this? Did it look like I was looking at like the center of this storm, or was it like the outside of it? I'm trying to place in my head whether I was looking at where the diver's grave is, or whether I was like looking off to the side and it was just like a part of this big storm that was going on.
No, it was like looking at the same sea in front of you. It was just two different versions of the same sea in front of you.
Okay. Yeah, I think... I'd probably just try and pinpoint where we are versus the diver's grave. If we're, like, heading into the centre of it, and the fact that it's called a diver's grave makes me think that it's got some connection to, like, the other side and death, and that's why I've seen that. I think I keep it to myself for now, but I'll just do like a quick a quick map check again, just to see if we're heading into like the center of it.
Yeah. What did he roll last time? Do you remember?
I think it was insight. Or if it was ship stuff, then it's a wisdom plus proficiency. But if you want me to do insight again, I can do that.
Go for insight.
Big throw. 14.
Yeah. I mean, you know how to read a map. You know how to read the sun. You put two and two together and you should be near as damn it right on top of. You've traveled 90-something percent of the way there, as far as you're concerned. You should be within spitting distance of the diver's grave. As you look over, Toad flaps, says, "Take the wheel!" As she leaps off, moves to the side and just hoiks up her lunch over the railing.
Oh, right. Okay.
Barbara's just lying on her side, a small mewling noise coming from her.
I'm gonna walk over and just... I won't give her the usual enthusiastic scritches, because that might be enough to just make her bath, but I'll probably just stroke the top of her head very lightly.
She's warm and sweaty. Right. You feel she's not burning up like a fever, but she's hot and sweaty. She's got a look on her face, as even you feel that hideous bile rising up in the back of your throat, your stomach tilting and turning. At this point, the sun dipping over the horizon. I'll say it's safe for the vampires to...
Belshar's bed springs complain. Up.
Evening glory.
That's the title of my name of my cologne.
Evening glory. Yeah. Total waste of blood for a vampire, that. Right. There you go. We just cheap vampire jokes. Right, yeah, you two, you're free to come up on deck without bursting into flames.
I woke up with a swagger.
Cue Boogie Nights music. As you step onto deck, you two, you feel all right. Not having much in your stomachs, or really having the same...
Just vomiting pure blood.
Yeah. Not having the same constitution as a human. You two look around and you see Toadflaps, Aristobulus, Maud, Keith, Barbara, Paquito. Paquito's just throwing up like, just kind of like this hideous, sappy water onto the deck.
Starchy.
Ugh, potato water.
Yeah. Ugh. It's just starch. Just a beam of pure starch comes out of his mouth. Everyone's looking just a little bit washed out. Everyone's looking pale and pallid and just holding on for...
I go to Tati. I say, good morning. I slap his back like in a jovial, what a day to be alive. Kind of slap.
Thank you. You were hiding under your bed from the sun earlier, and I found that most chucklesome.
Chucklesome.
In a regal way, though, right? I'm a very regal vampire.
Yeah, in a hot way. Yeah. It's cool. I think I'm gonna, because we're supposedly pretty close to where the diver's grave is, I'm gonna take out my potion of clairvoyance and I'm gonna drink it. Now this has a range of 1 mile, and it says you create an invisible sensor within range in a location familiar to you, or in an obvious location that is unfamiliar to you, such as behind a door, around a corner, or in a grove of trees. Sensor remains in place for the duration. It can't be attacked or otherwise interacted with. I can choose seeing or hearing, and I can use the chosen sense through the sensor as if I was in its space, and I can switch between... Oh, I can switch between seeing and hearing. I don't know what it means I think I can probably switch between seeing through my eyes and seeing through the eyes of the sensor as well. So I'm going to, the range is 1 mile. I'm going to create it underwater and like slightly further, whatever, it's like southwest, wasn't it? The direction that we were heading. I'll probably create it just slightly further southwest, but like underwater. See if I can see what's going on down there.
This is going to make you really throw up. You're like, you're going to look through there like...
That's me when I throw up. I fully just start spinning around. It's like some exorcist shit.
I just want to know, before we get into the meat of this, it does say in the description on D&D that the potion has an eyeball floating in it. Did you drink that or did you leave it?
An eyeball bobs in this. Oh, I'm sure does. I mean, I thought that wasn't a real eyeball. I thought it was just like a liquid, like the effect of an eyeball, shall we say, in the magic liquid.
As you two look over, Tati spitting the cork off a bottle, nailing it back, you feel here, you see him go to a place. You see his eyes roll back as he goes off to a place. As you watch in the clear flask that it's in, you see him neck the eyeball as he spits the cork out. Tati, from your point of view, are you putting the sensor... You just told me where you're putting the sensor out. Are you going for sight or hearing?
I'll go for sight.
Sight. You see a roiling storm. High waves crashing down with foaming peaks, the waves hitting 20, 30 feet up in the air. As you look back with the eye, you see your boat cresting the peak of the wave and smashing back down. But what you hear is calm through your own ears.
Okay. Yeah, then the next thing I was going to do was to try and do what I did before and like flick back and forth between like where we are now and the like the other vision that I was having, but it seems like that's happened automatically.
I immediately pants him, by the way, while he's doing this.
Okay, that's
as soon as I see his eyes roll back.
That makes sense. I was going to say that I try and find a comfortable place to sit down on deck, but that's no fun. I'll stand up. I'll ride the waves.
Hanash, you make me an athletics skill check to pants the small gnome.
You don't know what kind of chastity belt I wear.
9.
9. Tati, you are fully disassociated. Your eyes roll back into your head. You're seeing the storm a mile out as you're suddenly ripped back into reality as somebody pants you at the back. The problem is, as a recent burns victim, your skin is weeping as all of the skin on your ass cheeks that has been regrowing in a long rest is just torn off. As Hanash, you just see the top of his pants with just two ovular sets of skin attached to the inside. As Tati, your eyes flick back down, pulled into reality, a howl leaving your voice.
I just go, ew, and then I run away.
Well, that could have gone better, and I'll be carefully hoik my trousers back up. You all got a good look at my ass.
Just a clear pink fluid just trickling down his trouser legs as you've flayed ass. You're still feeling the greasy sensation. Tati, I'm going to say, what's your passive perception, Tati?
Passive perception, 18.
Yeah, 18, high enough. No shadow of a doubt, you have worked out at this point what you're seeing is an illusion. It is not a calm sea. You've been lulled into a false sense of security. Reality is far choppier. You have entered incredibly choppy seas. There's a reason this is probably called the diver's grave. This is mysterious magic at play.
Sorry, just making sure I remove the potion from my inventory. Okay, while everyone's on deck, I'm going to tell them, I'm just going to be like, look, everyone stay calm, or don't stay calm. Don't let someone tell you how to feel.
So healthy.
I haven't told you why you shouldn't be calm yet. Just hold on for a second.
Dear God.
This, and I just gesture to the sea. Just like, this is an illusion. The ocean is not calm right now. I've placed a magical sensor about a mile that way, and I point down to where I placed the sensor underwater, and I can flicking back and forth, I can see stormy, choppy waters. And this is probably why so many ships come here to just get wrecked. And not in a fun brunch way, like in a crashing upon the rocks and dying forevermore kind of way.
Mimosas for days.
Yeah. So if anyone has any wild abilities to get rid of large scale illusions, now is the time to shout up, I guess. I'll probably tell Toad Flaps to just. Oh yeah, she left me at the helm, didn't she? So I'll turn the engine off. I'll turn the engine off, and we'll stop. We'll stop here.
But Captain, why should we trust you?
Feels unnecessarily personal. Also, thank you for calling me Captain. I never asked for it.
Don't mention it. I just doing my due diligence.
I'll just be like, I get it. I don't know why I was able to see through the illusion. I think it's something to do with my connection to the other side, the place where people go when they die. Spoiler alert, when you die, you go somewhere that's not great. And that was before you became a vampire. So don't think about it too much. It's not too horrifying. It's very horrifying. But don't think about it too much. But I think with all the sailors that have probably died here, this place has quite a strong connection to whatever the other side is. The realm where we go after we die in this realm.
Barnsley.
Shots fired. Do I only listen to Barnsley?
I don't know. They don't really have Wi-Fi.
I don't know if Chris's mum and dad were listeners.
It's true. Let's hope not.
Which also, Chris, I just want to say, as I also have access to the Adventurers Anonymous Instagram account, is your mum called Sue?
She is, yeah.
Yeah, because it came up on my Instagram and when you might want to add Sue Neil. And I was like,
yeah.
Interesting.
I'm gonna have to take you off that Instagram. Not because of that.
I didn't add her.
Because looking at the Twitter feed every now and again reminds me of how little you can spell.
Oh, shots fired. Shots fired. Oh, just rubbing aloe vera all over my burnt nipples. Yeah. He's right. I can't spell. Yeah, Tati, without a shadow of a doubt, you can now feel it. You know what your eyes see and what your body feels are two different things, as your body is feeling the rising and sudden falling of the waves. And that's what's making you sick. Your eyes cannot believe what your body can feel.
Can I walk over, like, just to like test that hypothesis? Can I walk over and put my hand on like the railing on the side of the ship? Because I'm assuming if there's quite strong waves, that it will be like splashing up against the side of the ship, and I'll feel like a bit of the water on top of it. Can I just put my hand on top of it and see if I feel anything that doesn't quite gel with what I can see?
Yeah, I can't see why not. Make me an acrobatics check as you lean out.
10.
You lean far out with your arm hovering just over the edge of the beautiful, clear, calm azure waters. Nothing, nothing, and then a sudden burst of something wet slams into the side of you as you slip sideways as a bony hand grabs you by the back of your collar and yanks you back in as you look up in the pallid, cold, sick eyes of Aristobulus. As he's like, saved you. Be careful. As he just hoiks you back onto deck and throws up over the edge.
Thank you for doing those in that order. I'll just give him, like a light tap on the shoulder so as to not...
He's so hot and sweaty.
Yeah.
It's just like your hand comes back moist to the touch with sweat.
I'm guessing our service has some magic mushrooms. I'm wondering if an acid trip will help us out here.
Probably. The last time I got high as Tatty Bojangles, I rolled extremely well, and the only thing that happened was I got a ton of experience.
And you killed a goat.
And a goat died.
Well, no. Actually, this was the time before. That was when I poisoned myself. That's not getting high recreationally. That was when I poisoned myself.
Oh, you did! That's right. I rolled on a long form chart, and you managed to get the one number that just gave you tons of experience and didn't give you any side effects. God, that was a long time ago. That was when you inhaled some mushrooms from a cemetery. That was pre-stream. Mm. God, well done you.
420.
Wow. Okay, what are you retrobates planning on doing? You are on the cusp of hitting the diver's grave now.
I'm going to get high.
Yeah, sure. Just make me, as you go over to Aristobulus, you basically hit him up. You put an arm round his hot, sweaty shoulders as he's like, careful, careful, negligent discharge, as he moves your arm away from the stars that are all around his collar. As he's like, so, mushrooms. As he pulls into his belt line and he pulls out this little leather pouch and he just pulls out an array of different dried flora. As he's like, what kind of hit do you want? Sexy high, smooth low?
Sexy high. I want, like, acid. I want to hear colours. I want to see music.
Also, smooth low. What the fuck is that? Depression, but lightly medicated.
It's called soft jazz. As he flicks through an almost like encyclopedia of dried mushrooms, as he's like, oh yeah, wetter wipe tears. As he just pulls out something that looks like a dried lily leaf, as he crushes it, he basically pulls out a small mortar and pestle, crushes this dried lily leaf until it's almost dust, rolls it, he pulls out some like sickly thin tobacco paper, crumbles it in and just hands it to you as he's like, use it carefully, brother.
I have it all in one go straight away up the nose.
Okay, you snort a cigarette up your nose. Interesting. I'm going to have to ask you to make me a medicine check with disadvantage if you want to snort a roll-up. It's no problem, but that's a disadvantage.
Never done drugs, you see.
I'm no aficionado of drugs, but that feels suboptimal as a delivery method.
Feels like you should have stuck it up your butt.
I got a 2.
A 2! Hanash, you slam it up your nose. It doesn't fit at first as you push your other nostril closed and just with a mighty snort inhale. As both of Belcio, you look over and just see this fat roll up up his nose.
He fully does the Joker thing with the pen, but with like a massive roll up. He's just like, I'm going to make this disappear.
Hanash, you double over in pain, like sharp pain shooting up your spine. You contort into a shape, doubling over in pain. You grab onto your own ankles in a tight little ball and just rock backwards and forwards as you feel something bubbling up inside your skull, almost effervescing, almost like putting two Mentos into a Coke bottle and shaking it up. Something inside you is wanting to explode. As Belciar, you look over in some form of horror at the coiled up form of your large friend. As we quickly pan back to everyone else, what are we doing here?
I'm feeling a bit this news about the ocean lying to us is a bit upsetting. Can I cast Ice Knife on the ocean? Try and get it to give up its secrets.
Yeah.
Fuck you, ocean.
Roll intimidation again.
It's just like Americans shooting at a tornado with guns.
Yeah.
I was thinking something similar. I was thinking about if I could just fire my crossbow somewhere like into the sky, would it just leave the illusion at some point?
Like the holodeck in Star Trek, if you...
It's just like the holodeck. Yeah.
I got a 19 to hit the sea.
a 19 to hit the sea. Sure, you just... you shoot your shot. You fire your load off the railings out to sea as your hand crackles with energy as a swirl of air turns into a vortice, solidifies into a shard of ice, fires out of your hand, straight out into the calmness. It just vanishes as it reaches the edge of the illusion.
Mysterious. I shoot Ice Knife again and again, and I don't stop.
I don't stop ice knifing.
Okay. Are you like Keanu Reeves in Point Break? You just okay. If you want to negligently discharge an ice knife,
I'll leave my ice knife.
When Belciar fires the ice knife, can I flick back into the sensor? I think it lasts for 10 minutes, so I should still have time on it.
Yeah,
just see what that does.
Yeah, sure.
In the real world downstairs. Yeah. I'm gonna sit down this time before I do it, though. No more fucking pants in by this stoner motherfucker. I'm gonna sit down, flick back into the sensor to see what the effect of like the ice knife going out of once it was fired and once it went out of the illusion and disappeared, like what effect that had in the real landscape.
No worries. As you flip back to it, you see the boat is now really close. You see the boat is maybe 100 meters away as it rides over the crest of a wave. You feel a drop in your stomach as the boat goes right over the precipice of the wave and comes crashing, almost surfing down the edge of a wave, coming towards the sensor, getting ever faster and faster and faster as it descends down the mountain edge of the wave. You see the boat is now 50 meters, 40 meters, getting ever closer to the sensor. As you disengage from the sensor, all of you grabbing onto the edge of the railing, you see a calm, calm day. Everything is sensible. As suddenly the front of the boat smashes through almost a wall of light as you erupt into a whole other setting. The day goes from warm and calm and sensible to bursting into this dark, overbearing, shadowy, stormy day as your whole universe is tilted at an angle as you see the boat is now riding a wave. As you look out in front of you, you see the waters are littered with the timbers of smashed and wrecked boats. As you see, this is very much an illusion to protect an area of the sea. You suddenly realize why your stomachs have felt so grim, because your eyes are now seeing what your stomachs feel. As you look in the low light, it's daylight, but the sun is eclipsed by filthy dark rain clouds. As Tati, you look dead ahead and you see off in the distance, maybe 400-500 meters away, the carcass of a giant galleon, half of a galleon sitting proud of the water, a boat so large you've never seen anything like it, clearly at some point snapped in half by the storm. You just see the front half of a ship, maybe some 60 feet up. Its timbers are old and rotten, water doused and salty, with seaweed hanging off them. You see it has many tiers to it. A ship so large, a galleon so immense, that it has maybe 6 or 7 decks, 6 or 7 holds on it, as you can see a cross-section through it. As you sail ever closer to it, you feel that this is the center of the diver's grave.
Question. Does our ship have an anchor that we can drop?
Yes.
Good. I think we're going to need it. Otherwise, we're going to jump on this half a galleon and we're going to lose the fucking ship.
The Lady Luck.
I take at least 1 second to give everyone a look of, well, I fucking told you, didn't I? and then I'll use the helm and turn the engine back on, but just like a little bit, just enough to get us to the, it sounds like 400, 500 meters away, just enough to get us to the galleon and probably switch it off when we're fairly close. Just so that we glide in slowly, and then I can drop the anchor.
Honosh reacts to Tati saying that, going, he's so high.
Okay, cool. Honosh,
you are now feeling the effects of the drugs coursing through you. You're feeling a bravery beyond anything you've ever felt. Every fiber of your body is dripping with confidence. You could not feel any less fear if you tried. You almost feel not a worry. You're so elevated in yourself. All you can see is direction, motivation, and bravery are just dripping out of you. As you just stand up, rip open your shirt and roar, staring straight at the galleon in front of you.
I am Honosh, hear me roar.
I move Tati over and I put more power on the gas. Like, let's get that quicker, boys!
Okay. Flooring it. You crest down the wave ever faster and faster and faster. You shoot nearer the galleon. As you get closer to the half a galleon, you can see the back half of it is snapped off and it clearly at some point sunk into the dark waves. You just see how intimidating it is as your boat comes closer in, Honosh. You see that your tiny little barge is dwarfed by this huge skeleton of an ancient galleon, the walls of it just dripping with seawater and seaweed. As you see the ancient, rusty, ginormous anchor hanging off the front of it, almost the same size as your sea barge. And that is where we are going to pause this week's episode.
Woo!
The merry hell was that, you little cucaracha?
I was being a cucaracha.
The cucaracha. Right. There we go. Who said drugs don't pay, kids? Honosh has never felt so emboldened in his life. You've just got a thin patina of sweat. Your ripped green muscles are just dripping with sweat. Everyone else is freezing cold and you're boiling hot.
Just above tepid.
Just above tepid. you're a hot tepid. Okie dokes. Right. There you go. Right. That is the end of another episode. Nothing more here can be achieved. But before we let you go, listeners, we just want to say a massive thank you for joining us for another episode of Fun Packed Fantasy Fuck Nuggetry. As ever, if you want to get hold of us about anything that we've said across the course of this episode, you can find us on all the normal forms of social media. We're on Instagram, Facebook, We are on the dreaded X. And we're even on Blue Sky. And I think we're on Threads. We're definitely sort of on Reddit in a roundabout kind of way. We're all over the place. But if you want to get a hold of us, the best place is probably on X, where you can find us at Adventurers, A-N-O, number one. Better yet, if you're feeling fruity, want to give us a review on whatever podcasting platform you are on, as our good friend Brian Pollen found out on Good Pods. I think he's given us a number of 5-star reviews recently. So a massive thank you, Brian, for all of your support. Anyone else who wants to give us a 5-star review, please feel free. We're doing good guns on Spotify at the moment. We seem to be accruing lots of Spotify listeners. So if you are listening to us on that, thank you very much for all your support. Try to think if we've got anything else. Chris, do you want to do a plug for your actual play, UK?
Yeah, sure. Last week, we recorded the second part of our Actual Play UK, two-part series, playing The Tales Were True, which is a D&D 5e supplement, set in the UK, but a fantasy version of the UK where all the myths, legends, crazy fairy tales and shit that I did not bother to research or ever learn about ever were true. So I played a little boy who was cursed with the face of a rat called Ricky Blackwood. It's the first time I've ever played a monk, and thank God for the second part of the adventure where I got to pop off big style and Ricky became a super violent little preteen and just ran over and started beating the shit out of grown men, which was very, very fun for me. It was very cathartic. As far as I know, they've released it now on YouTube as a VOD. So I think that should be on the Actual Play UK YouTube channel. Check it out. It's really fun. It's me, Chloe from Deck of Many Aces, Bardic from the Bardic Knock, and Ben, who also runs a Cybertopia Actual Play podcast as well. Just as an aside, I've got the notification to say, are you still around? With the thing saying, yup, I'm still here. But because my MacBook is not responding and I can't click on it, it's still counting down. So I may get pushed out in about 10 seconds time.
Oh no! Quickly, say goodbye.
Goodbye! That's it, that's all I got.
Oh well, there you go. If we do lose Chris...
No, he's gone.
If we lose him, we just assume that he's gone off to practice his... Oh, he really has gone. Jesus Christ. All right. We listeners, we just lost Chris in a frottage accident. That's why you should always practice your kinks. Right, that's the end. Hang on a minute. Hang on. Listeners, Chris Neal's fucked off, listeners, and it was double XP day, which means do these two get triple XP and Chris Neal gets none? The only way to find out is to tune in next week, listeners. We'll see you back here. See you in a bit. Big love.